This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
We're so glad that you're here and part of our Easter celebration today. And it's just a great day, isn't it? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them to John chapter 20. We are going through the book of John this year. Kind of wait, we're going to get there. But we are just taking a year to focus on Jesus. And there's nothing better in the world to do but focus on him, especially today, as we celebrate the fact that he is risen. You know, this is our 16th Easter together as a church, and it gets better every year, I think, and all around the world. Millions of people are celebrating today all around a three-word phrase, right? A three-word phrase that you can just take and let it soak in, those three words, he is risen. And it's a powerful thing to think about. And it's a strong thing to believe in and just know that it is Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, which changed everything. It changes us. It changed the world, right? It's something that we believe. It's something we can share no matter where we're from, what language we speak, where we were born, how much money we make, how much money we don't make. It doesn't matter. This is something we can agree on together that we believe that on this day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to change our lives. And that's a powerful thing. Belief is an interesting idea. If you think about this idea of believing in something, if you believe in Easter, it kind of goes from any direction and it goes like a continuum. You can have a sense of belief in Easter that he is risen, kind of like you believe Memorial Day is a day to celebrate or to observe the death of people who gave their life for their country, or the 4th of July. We believe that's a day to stop and really focus on freedom. We can believe in a way that really that's only for the day, like today is Easter. We think about Easter today, but then it doesn't affect anything else in our life. It doesn't change who we are. It doesn't help us through problems. It doesn't give us a sense of who God is. So we can believe that, yes, today is Easter, but it really doesn't affect us. That's one kind of end of this belief system. There's another idea at the end of this, at the end of the continuum of belief, is where you believe he is risen. And it changes everything about you. It's the way you handle your problems. You don't worry. You're not anxious. God is in control. God is working all things together for good. And you know everything through the lens of the resurrection. If he rose from the dead, it changed the world. And so there's that end of it, that you don't worry about death. You don't worry about what's next. You just already know. And we know people that live there, right? We know that people, you go to them and go, why aren't you worried? Why aren't you scared? Why don't you get bothered about these things? And they'll look at you and go, I believe God. I believe in a risen Savior, so I don't worry. I don't stress. I'm not bothered. I know who holds my future, and it's Jesus Christ. And so they kind of live right there, where on the other end, they believe in an idea. I can repeat it. I can explain it. He is risen. I got it. I can tell you what happened. And the people on this side are going, I believe in a person. I trusted my life to a person, and he is risen. And I'll be honest with you, most of us probably live somewhere in between, right? If we're honest, don't we live somewhere kind of in between, where some days it's kind of like, yeah, the resurrection doesn't really affect me today. I kind of got my mind on other things. I've forgotten about it. I don't really think about the fact there's a risen Lord. We all kind of live there some days. And other days we're completely confident, right? Yes, he's risen. Yes, I'm good. I'm not worried. And we all kind of just kind of go back and forth. But I think God wants to move us over here, where we just live with this total trust in him, because he is risen and the world is different. You know, the disciples kind of found themselves in between, you know, sometimes themselves. They didn't always fully believe. Sometimes they would kind of be in this continuum too. Some days they were really good, and sometimes they weren't. A few weeks ago in this series, we looked at John chapter 2, where Jesus cleansed the temple. He went in and drove out all the money changers. He got the temple cleansed out, and the authorities came in and said, who are you to tell us to do this? And in John chapter 2, 19 through 22, it says this, Jesus speaking, he said, look, destroy this temple. And they thought he was talking about the man-made temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And the Jews said, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days. And he replied to him, and he said he was speaking about the temple of his body. He wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about his body. And when, therefore, he was raised from the dead, after the resurrection, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and then they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. It wasn't until the resurrection that they fully bought into the idea of who Jesus was. Before the resurrection, they're kind of like, yeah, he's a good guy, he's a carpenter, he does some amazing things, we kind of get it. But then they would face something important, and Jesus would turn to them and go, where's your faith? Where's your belief? Oh, you have little faith. And they just kind of like were in the middle. But after the resurrection, they were completely different people. After they saw Jesus rise from the dead, they were fully bought in. After that, they were willing to die for Jesus. But it took the resurrection to get there. And so everyday life for them wasn't easy until they saw him risen from the grave. It was a powerful thing. In this series, we're going through the book of John, and we're looking at John, who is a witness to Jesus. He was someone that got to see him face to face every day for 3 years, and he wrote all this down. And that's what you have in the Gospels. You have this period of time where these four people saw who Jesus was. And they saw what he did, and they wanted us to know. So they wrote it down so that 2,000 years later, you and I would get it. We would go, this is what he was about. This is who he was, and this is what he did. And so much of their writing is focused around the last few days of Jesus' earthly life. Like if you read through the Gospels, if you read through any of them, they're going to tell you things like this. John said, look, I was there. I was there at what we call the Last Supper. And I was there when he washed my feet. And I want you to know that. I witnessed it. I was in the room with him, and he washed our feet, and we thought it was such a strange thing. And I was there that night when we had the Last Supper, and I was there when we went out to the garden, and I was there when Jesus said, come with me, and let's go pray. And I kept falling asleep, John says. I kept falling asleep. Every time I went off to pray with Jesus, I couldn't stay awake. And Jesus would come back, can't you be with me? And I heard a little bit of Jesus' prayer, John said, and I heard what he was praying, not my will, but yours, Father. And John's saying, then I was there when Judas came with a crowd, and I was there and I saw them arrest Jesus, and I was there when Peter, of course it was Peter, right? Peter picks up a sword and he cuts the guy's ear off, this servant. And I was there when Jesus healed him, and I saw it with my own eyes. And I was there when they took Jesus away. And I followed, John said, I was a witness to this whole thing, and I followed them all the way down to the priest's home, and I was there for the trials that were public, and I witnessed them, and I actually knew somebody there, he tells us, and I got us in the door, and I was sitting around the fire when a little girl asked Simon Peter, do you even know Jesus, or aren't you one of the group? And I heard Simon say, no, I don't even know him. And John said, I was there, I witnessed it, and I saw one of my best friends turn on one of my very best friends, Jesus, and it was strange to witness this. And then after that, John said, I watched Jesus go before Pilate, and I saw the public trial, and while I was there, I heard Pilate just try to get out of it. I don't want to convict you. I don't want to deal with you, but Pilate kept listening to the crowd where they kept saying, give us Barabbas, and so he said, okay, and then he said, let's flog Jesus. And John was like his best friend, and can you imagine watching your best friend over in a corner, and they took a whip to his back, and you have to watch that. And you can't do anything to stop it. John said, I was there. And I was confused because I know that Jesus could stop a storm, and I saw him walk on water, and I saw him bring Lazarus back from the dead, and then Jesus didn't do anything. He just took it. And they put a crown of thorns on his head, and they wrapped him in this purple cloak, and they mocked him. And I go, I don't get it. I was there, I witnessed it. I want you to know I was there and I saw this. And then they made Jesus carry the cross, right? And he couldn't carry the cross on his own. And imagine if you were his friend, like John is his very good friend, and you just want to help Jesus, but they won't let you help. So they get this guy out of the crowd named Simon, and he carries the cross for Jesus. And then they put the nails in his hands and they hung him on a cross. And John's the only one there of his crew. And he's there with these ladies that have come too. And he's watching Jesus on the cross. And he's watching him suffer, trying to breathe. And he's taking it all in. He goes, look, I was there and I saw this. And then he kind of takes a break. If you have your Bibles, actually, John chapter 19. He wants us to know something that none of the other Gospels tell us. In 19, verse 25 through 27, he writes this. He says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. These ladies were there, and they were watching this crucifixion. And then it says, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which is John. John's watching his best friend on the cross, and he's standing there with Jesus' mother, and he said to his mother, Jesus did, woman, behold your son. I mean, just think about this moment. Jesus is dying on the cross, and his thought is about his mother. And John's standing there next to her, and he's watching Jesus, and he's in the midst of his suffering going, I need my mom to be okay. I need her to be okay. And so he's talking to John too, and he said in the next verse, behold, he said to the disciple, behold your mother. John, this is now your mom. Take my mom into your home. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. He said, I'm a witness to this. I was there. Nobody else in my group was there, but I was there, and all I wanted to do was take care of his mother. I mean, that's personal stuff, right? That's very personal. That's very much, I want you to know, Jesus, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And he said, I was a witness of that. I was there. And then as Jesus hung on the cross, it went dark, and John writes down these words that he heard Jesus say in John chapter 19, verse 28. He heard Jesus say, I thirst. And if you go back to what Brandon talked about last week when he talked about John chapter 4, where Jesus met the Samaritan woman and she's talking about, give me water. And he says, I want to give you living water so you'll never thirst. And then suddenly on the cross, he remembers this. And Jesus says, I thirst. And if you're John and you're Jesus' really good friend, all you want to do is give him something to drink, but you can't. You can't. And you're standing off a little bit to the side and you watch them dip this sponge-like material into vinegar and wine, and they give it to Jesus, and he refuses to drink it, and you're powerless to do anything about it. I mean, this is like the worst situation you could be in, right? If you're John, I mean, you're witnessing this stuff, and you're trying to be there for Jesus, and you really can't. You're just witnessing, and you're saying, I'll take care of your mom, but I can't do anything else. And then a little bit later, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he heard Jesus say these words, John 19, verse 30, it is finished. In Greek, it's one word, tetelestai. It's finished. It's paid in full. And John heard that. And then there was no more movement out of Jesus. He just hung there. And there was no more words. And there were no more breaths. And he watched a soldier go up, take a spear, and shove it in Jesus' side all the way through to his chest cavity. And Jesus didn't move. He didn't whimper. He didn't gasp. He didn't fight back, nothing. And so everybody goes, he's dead. We know he's dead. And then John witnessed Joseph of Arimathea coming, a guy he kind of knew, a guy in the Sanhedrin. And then he watched Nicodemus, a guy he had seen Jesus spend a night with, and talk about spiritual things. They both came and they took the body of Jesus and they began to wrap it in cloths, prepare it for burial. They put spices on as best they could, but the sun's going down. And the day is ending and they're Jews and they can't be out after sundown because this is a Sabbath. And so they go, hurry up, hurry up. And they did the best they could, and they put Jesus' body in a tomb, and they rolled the stone in, and they went home, and they spent Saturday on their own. And John said, I was there, and I saw it. I was there, and I witnessed all this, and I want you to understand that. At the end of this passage in John 19:36, John is speaking to a scribe who is writing for him, and he says this, he who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth that you also may believe. Because I was there, I saw the worst of the worst. And at that time, my faith, my belief probably wasn't real high, but I want you to believe me because I was there. And I want you to know something, because sometimes our faith is like this. We see the worst of the worst, and we give up on Jesus. You know what I mean? Have you ever been there where you see suffering in the world, and you go, I don't know about God. If God truly exists, if Jesus is truly alive again, why is there suffering that I see in the world? Have you ever been in the case where you pray for something and it didn't happen, and you begin to wonder, because you see the worst of the worst, you begin to wonder, is God really there? Does he really care? And you begin to doubt, and John's going, I was that position too, but I want you to know I was there when I saw what I saw, and I want you to believe anyway. You ever face something in yourself, and you go, I just see this stuff in my heart, and I don't know if I really believe God. I don't know if I really believe Jesus. Have you ever seen like people in the church that you go, man, if that's what Christianity is, I don't know. I don't know. You ever seen things in my life, you know, like Patrick, look at this guy, he's a mess. How does he do what he does? You go, look, I don't know if I believe in God right now. Ask my family. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. And yet we take our eyes off the cross sometime and go, I don't know if I really believe. And God, John goes, I was there too. I was there too. I saw the worst of the worst. I thought Jesus could just take himself off the cross. My belief, John's saying, in the Messiah is that he had all this power and now he seems completely powerless. And if that's the end of the story, we're in big trouble, right? We're in big trouble if that's all there was, because he's going, why do you even believe if that's it? And if it stopped at John 19, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But turn in your Bibles to John 20, verse 1. This is the good news. This is where it changed for them. It's where it changes for us, where it changed everything. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says this. John is a witness. And he says, now on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She came to finish the job that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus couldn't finish because the sun was going down. So she came to finish the job of embalming the body. And when she had gotten there, the stone had been taken away. The very first person that saw the resurrection was a woman. She's the first one that bears testimony to that. She's the first one that preached the gospel, which is a powerful thing, right? In their culture, women weren't allowed to testify at trials. But the very first person that Jesus appeared to was a woman named Mary who had a rough life, had seen the worst of the worst, and Jesus had brought her to a place of salvation. And she was the first one. She's the first one. And it says, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, which is John. That's how he talks about himself. She went and told them, and she said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. We don't know what's going on. We don't know. We don't know the full story. And the next verse, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. And then John kind of toots his horn a little bit. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple, which is me, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I was faster than Peter, okay? I beat him there. We had a foot race. We wanted to get to the tomb first. I won. This is me, John. Look at that. But then he says, stooping to look in, he, John, saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. I won the race. I got there. I looked in, but I couldn't go any further. I couldn't go any further. I was scared. I wasn't sure. I had my doubts. What if I see something I don't like? What if it doesn't make sense? I can't push this far. You ever been like that? Where you go, okay, if I push this thing with Jesus too far, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to change who I am and what I'm about. So I'm going to stand back from Jesus. I'm kind of examining him from afar. And that way I don't have to make any changes in my life. I don't have to do anything different. He knows exactly how you feel. If I look in that tomb and it's really something about the resurrection, my life's going to be completely different. And I know, so I'm just going to stand there and look in. I'm a little afraid to go any further. I don't know what's going to happen. So he's standing there out of breath, looking in the tomb. Good thing he didn't go alone. Because the next verse said this, then Simon Peter came, he finally caught up with John, following him, and went into the tomb, and Peter saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Why is that important? Well, they would wrap the body, and remember they wrapped the body and put the spices in, and the last thing they do is they cover the head. And so this body has already been entombed for a while. It's already got the spices. It's already hardening like a plaster cast. And so now they get in there and they say, someone's unwrapped him. And they didn't just steal the body. They actually folded the cloth that was on his face. They're off to the side. Something's happened here. Something's happened here. What is it? And then it says, then the other disciple, which is John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw. And what does it say? And believed. It was a moment of epiphany. You know what epiphany is? It's when it hits you. It's when it makes sense, when it's clarified. Like, I get it. Like until this point, John had gotten it. He had believed enough to keep showing up. He believed enough to stand there. He was believing enough to be at the cross. He was believing enough to take on Jesus' mom into his house. He believed that far. But until that moment, he didn't believe everything about Jesus. Until that moment, it all made sense. It makes sense now. He rose from the dead. I believe it. I truly believe it. And that changed John's life. Completely changed his life. You know, for some of us, it's a little different. There's some of us, we grew up believing in Jesus, and it just always made sense. And you hear, and you understand, and that's how you've always lived, and you believed it from the time you were little. That's awesome. If that's your story, that's an amazing story. Some of you, it took some time to listen, and to read, and to study, and then it came to clarity, and other people had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that brought you to Jesus, but you had something. For John, it was simply seeing the empty tomb, and he saw and believed. And it says, for as yet, before then, they didn't understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples went back to their homes. He got it that moment, though. For John, that's all it took, is an empty tomb. Here's the clothes. I believe. And after that, he was willing to die for Jesus. It changed who he was. The rest of them went home. Now, if you know the story of John, you can kind of speed read this. I'll just tell you it. That night, on what we call Easter night, right, the disciples are in a room. The doors are locked. They're afraid because they're not sure what they truly believe. And Jesus shows up, and they see him, and they believe, and it changed their life. But I want to point out one guy that John pointed out. Maybe you're like this guy. If you skip down a few verses, go to John chapter 20, verse 24. Maybe you feel like this guy. He's one of my favorite guys. It says in verse 24, now Thomas. What do we call Thomas? Call him Doubting Thomas. I don't think that's fair, right? But maybe you feel like Doubting Thomas. Well, we'll just call him that. Maybe your belief is over here where you just kind of believe. Well, that's okay. There was a disciple just like you. Read his story and listen. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin. He was a twin. Was not with them when Jesus came. He was skipping out. He didn't show up when everybody else saw Jesus. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord with our eyes. We have seen him. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, unless I actually see that and then place my finger in the mark of the nails, unless I actually can touch him and place my hand in the side where they shoved that spear, unless I can do that, notice what he says. I will never believe. Have you ever been there? You know somebody there. I will never believe it unless God does us something that I ask him to do. Very specifically, I will not believe it unless I can touch him. I will not believe it unless I can see him. I will not believe it unless he answers my prayer. You fill in the blank, but you ever been there? I will not believe. I will never believe unless, and that's Thomas. I won't do it. I don't care what you guys saw. I don't care what you guys experienced. Unless I do it, unless I have a personal experience, I'm not going to believe. Next verse. Then, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. He had to wait a week. And Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, he found Thomas, right? He goes, Thomas, we have to have a conversation. Put your finger here in my hand and see my hands. And take your hand and put it my side. You wanted to do that. You told everybody else that's what you were going to take for you to believe. Put your hand right here. And then he says, do not disbelieve, but believe. I want you to believe. And the cool thing is, Thomas didn't do it. He didn't need to. He didn't need to touch his hands. He didn't need to put his hand in his side. He swore that I won't believe unless I do that. But he didn't need to, because look what he said next. Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God, I get it now. I don't have to have it my way. I just sense your presence. I hear your voice. I'm good. And I believe. And then Jesus said to them this, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know who he's talking about there right then? He's talking about you. Jesus said, look, Thomas, you wanted to touch me and You couldn't, you didn't need to. You saw me, that's enough. But how about all those other people? You, 2,000 years later, you're not there, I'm not there. We didn't get to see it. He says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Only about 500 people saw Jesus. You understand that, right? The other 2 billion of us that believe Jesus don't get to see him like that. We don't. We believe because of the testimony of the word of God. Paul, who came after this time, Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. He says, look, faith, belief comes from hearing. Hearing the story, reading it, listen to the word, and hearing through the word of Christ. When you hear from God, that's where believing comes from. Again, some of you was reading the scriptures, and you believed. I read it. I get it. It makes sense. I believe. You may have heard a testimony of somebody. I heard them say how they came to Christ. You heard it, and you believed. You heard it with your ears. You don't get to see Jesus. You just hear, and you believe. That's how the Holy Spirit works. You hear and you believe. I have a friend, I asked him this week, tell me your God story. How did you come to God? And how did you come to believe in Jesus? And this is what he said. He was going through a really difficult time in his life. His wife was pregnant. She was about to give birth really prematurely. At the same time, he had a medical test. He was going to get the results of it that day, and it meant life or death for him. If you've ever been there, you're waiting for the doctor to call. Am I going to live or die? And how's this going to affect everybody? So he's waiting for that. Things at home are really, really tough. A lot of pressure. Work is really pressurized. He's keeping it on to himself. He's feeling the overwhelming state of life. And he's about to go into his work building, and he just stops and prays. And he's not sure about God. And he says, God, if you even exist, I need your help. So he goes into the office, and he sits down. And he was overwhelmed with the presence of God. He can't explain it. He didn't hear a voice out loud. It was just the peace of God. And today, you cannot talk him out of that experience. You can't say that's not true. You can't say to him, you didn't experience that. Because he'll tell you, I was there. I saw it. I experienced it. I can tell you God is real. I can tell you there's a risen Savior because God is alive. That's what He is risen is all about. Jesus Christ speaks to us now. However you come to faith, it's because God is speaking to you. He's risen, the risen Lord. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John wraps up his whole gospel, and he says this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. I can't tell you everything John says. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you may understand he rose from the dead and he's alive today, so that by believing, you may have life in his name. And that life is living here where you just trust Jesus with everything. Where you understand it is a risen Lord, not just an idea that he is risen, but he is alive today, and he is speaking today, and he is working today, and he is changing lives today. And you go, that changes everything. He understands my life, he understands me, and life is okay because he is risen. That's what life is. That's what he wants for us. Today we celebrate he is risen, right? And we may look at that as a fact of 2,000 years ago. That's great. But what does it do for you today? What does that phrase, he is risen, do for you today? And what will it do for you tomorrow? And what will it do for you next week when you face life and you go, I can live. I can live. Because I serve and I know a risen Savior. Not an idea, but a person. And I trust him with everything. Today, that's what we're celebrating. We are glad that you're here on this Easter Sunday. It's not just any day. It's the day we say, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and therefore I can face anything. I can deal with anything. I know what death is, and I know what life is. It's all in Jesus Christ. Today, I don't know where you are on your scale or your spectrum of faith, where you are with belief. I would simply say this. He is risen. He wants to know you. He wants to give you life. We're going to pray in just a second, and then we're going to have communion after that. We're going to have a prayer time. There'll be a group up here. If you want to ask questions, if you want prayer about anything, if you want to take a step of faith, we are here for you. Because on this day, on this Easter Sunday, it's a great day to say, I believe. I believe he is risen from the grave, and I trust him with everything. Let's pray. Father God, what a powerful day today is. The day we celebrate, observe, think about, reflect on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you speak even today because you are risen, Lord. And I pray for people today that are maybe facing the worst of the worst. They're facing difficult times and they're just turning to you. And they say, do you really exist? Are you really there? Do you really care? And I pray that they'll hear your voice and they'll believe. They'll believe that you are working. And I pray for those that are kind of on the fence today, maybe with Jesus. And they look around and I don't blame them. They see some of the things in this world, things in the church. And they go, I don't get it. I don't know. But then they see Jesus and none of that really matters. I pray for them to take a step of faith. Father God, thank you that our faith is not just in something that we think may have happened, but in the truth of Jesus Christ. So I pray that you'll just fill us today with knowledge of you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We observe communion each week at Bridges for a reason, to remember Jesus and to think about what he's done for us. And it's interesting, if you look at the book of John and the life of John, here's a person that knew Jesus. I mean, he was his best friend. He saw him for 3 years, and then his life was changed by the resurrection. And then when John was an old man, he was exiled to this island, and he had an experience with Jesus there. It was a vision. And when he described it, it's almost like just surreal, but I just want you to hear the words that John heard in Revelation chapter 1, 17 and 18. He says, when I saw Jesus in all his glory, I fell at his feet as though dead. We talk about when we get to heaven, we're going to ask him all these questions. Look what John, he knew him better than anybody. He just fell down like he was dead because he couldn't stand before the risen Lord. But then Jesus, he does this for us today. He laid his hand on him. It's okay. It's okay. And he said this, fear not. I am the first and the last. I mean, could you imagine what John's thinking? Like, man, I've been living for all these years on this island. Now I get to see you again, and you are still the living one. And then listen to the words of Jesus. Next verse. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's what we celebrate, right? That today Jesus Christ is alive. He died and he rose, and today he holds the keys of death and Hades. We live. So when you eat the bread and drink the juice, you are celebrating the life of Jesus, the life and the hope that we have in Jesus. I died, he said, and I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to Hades and death. We celebrate a risen Savior when we observe communion. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, look forward to the day we hear those words you speak. You died and you rose again. And that life, eternal life, is found in you. And that death and Hades are gone and destroyed and put away for us. We don't have to experience that because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We eat the bread today in remembrance of him. We drink the juice in remembrance of him and all he's done. Make this a special time for us. On Friday, we took communion to observe your death. Today, we do it to observe your life. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Communion's open to everyone here. If you're a follower of Jesus, there are three different stations. When you're ready, come on up and receive that. And then following that, we'll sing. And if you want prayer, if you want to make a decision, come forward. But come on up now for communion.